Welcome back to Just Jocelyn. I'm one of your hosts, Sabrina Hannon.
And I'm the other host, Jasmine Heron. This week, guys, we are not in either the Buffyverse or, we're not in the Buffyverse, basically. We are going to be talking about the shit show of an interview that came out on January 17th of 2022.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Joss Whedon thought it was a bright idea to defend himself, and boy oh boy did he not do that. It's just like it wasn't even a matter of like confirming things, it was just making things worse. Making them worse.
So look, I want to acknowledge my own implicit biases, which is that I grew up with Joss Whedon essentially being a hero to a lot of nerd culture. And so even as I'm reading this, I had to acknowledge my internal screaming being like, surely it's not that bad. Surely they're taking this out of, it can't be like, and being like, no, it is that bad. This did happen. Like, take your emotions out of the situation. And, you know, listen to what people have said and experienced.
Yeah. I'm actually a much harsher critic of him because he wrote like worlds in which he knew better, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's what we know from his work. He knows better. And he does the opposite. I don't even really know where to begin because it's chock full of weird choices to say to someone who's interviewing you.
Yeah. And so here, so this was posted and it's called The Undoing of Joss Whedon. Mm-hmm. And it was a feature article written by Lila Shapiro. That's what you saw too, right?
Yeah.
And so I do want to acknowledge that like only select quotes are taken from the interview. Like we don't get to watch the interview. We don't get to listen to the interview. We are viewing this through the lens of the writer.
Yes.
So, you know, writers do have their own lenses that they can frame things through. However, you know, I wish that we could get our hands on the, like, you know, the the original, but there is so much.
Because also if he had been horribly misquoted, that person would have had the pantsuit off of them by now. Like we are far enough out that if this was not stuff that he had said.
Well, I wouldn't say misquoted, but miscontextualized.
You know, like, again, we're like more than a month out from when this came out and nothing from him. But like, it's also really hard to misinterpret when someone says their mother is sexy.
Yeah.
Like you can say it's like gorgeous, beautiful. Like there's so many words. But when you start saying like my mother, like not quoting somebody else, but you describe your own mother as very sexy.
Wasn't it Trump who also said that his like daughter was sexy?
Yes, and that he would have sex with her if she were not his daughter. Do you see like, the problem there? Like that's who Trump is basically a villain that Joss has written many a time. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we also know from him saying that Xander Harris was based, you know, closely on who he was. The problems of Xander Harris, Joss Whedon, it's very believable that he's not misquoted when he said, like, when he was in all of these classes with these women, he knew what to say because the bad person they were talking about was in his head.
Yeah.
Like that's right on track there. Like it's not a leap It's not even a smidge of a hop. It's yep. Mm. A to B, yes.
Do you feel that we can separate the art from the artist here?
I think his career should be done at this point. And the reason being is he creates a very toxic work environment. Like he should not have the opportunity to abuse people again. And he's been doing it for decades and he's known better. And we know again that he knows better because he's written it. And he said he knows better. He's proclaimed himself a feminist. He can describe what feminist principles are. He knows better.
Mm-hmm.
He has chosen repeatedly not to do better because nothing was happening to him. There was no consequences.
Well, I'm not talking about going forward. I'm talking about looking into the past. Now that we know that, you know, Charisma Carpenter experienced such a toxic, and Gal Gadot, and oh goodness, what's his name? The guy that played Cyborg.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're not just, Joss Whedon isn't the only artist involved there, right?
Yes. Like,
that is a many, 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 many different folks. Now, obviously he would still get residuals off of Firefly and Buffy and things of that nature. Am I less likely to buy Buffy merch now? 100%. I will be doing what I do for J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter stuff, getting it off of independent sellers, which honestly, for most of my Buffy stuff, that's what I was doing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I will do my best not to contribute to his wealth at this point. While at the same time, like still trying to support the actors, actresses and such that were on that by, and you know, you can do that by going to fan signings and things like that and following their careers as they continue to unfold.
Mm-hmm.
What about
Michelle Trachtenberg put it very well, where she said that she will forever be grateful to have her name linked to Buffy, but does not want her name to be linked to Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
And I still feel like having these shows and these experiences at the time that I had them were an important stepping stone for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to, like, you know, to calculate them from where they were in the 90s and the early 2000s. And, you know, say like now, you know, now you know better, do better. And he knew better and didn't do better. But like at that time, those, you know, those realms were a necessary outlet for me. They were, you know, a form of escapism and a form of aspiration, you know, of what I wanted to aspire to be. Willow coming out was one of like my first, you know, role models for when I had to stand up for myself. And so I want to be able to say, let's separate the art from the artist while also acknowledging that, like, he created these terrible villains for these women to overcome. And he created these terrible villains because he understood the way to be that villain. Mm-hmm. Like, but he also, the people around him should not have had him as the villain to overcome.
Yeah.
He should have been on the side of Scooby.
Mm-hmm. And I think, like, so I think a lot of, right, because when people talk about separating the art from artists, a lot of people tend to fall on the side of, like, that middle ground I was talking about, like, not supporting their work going forward if they're still alive. If the person's dead, that's entirely different because they're not receiving the money from it. Like, if you want to go listen to Michael Jackson, blast your ears out. Like, that's his kids who are getting it at this point. same thing with like Elvis and various other abusers. Once you, when someone is alive, it's a little more tricky and you have to figure out what to do. And for me, as I said, like it absolutely, like the works of like Buffy, specifically for both of us, but also like Firefly and Angel, not nearly as much, really helped develop who both you and I are, our friendship. And it's absolutely fine to keep enjoying those creations, but you have to also acknowledge who Joss Whedon is.
Yes. Like,
and you can do both. It is completely possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of, well, I think most people at some point in their lives have someone, you know, that was a very big part of their life, but has serious drawbacks to them. And it's okay to acknowledge that and still acknowledge who that person was to you and what they, the positive things that they did for you.
Mm-hmm. But. I'm trying to find the part where the writer was saying, I do think they're talking about a cult of silence around his behavior. It said one Buffy actress. I have a feeling that Buffy actress was Charisma Carpenter, or maybe Amber Benson, but I didn't have the same feeling about the show, but I also know sometimes people don't want your truth. There was a cult of silence around that sort of behavior in regards to Whedon. But that was not what I was looking for. I was looking for one of the Rebecca.
Yeah, because I mean, there have been three actresses from Buffy who have come forward, including what's Dawn's real name?
Michelle Trachtenberg.
Yeah, where she wasn't allowed to be left alone with him,
mm-hmm.
which is the most troubling.
But
like what happened, obviously what happened to Charisma Carpenter is horrible and traumatizing, but when it's a rule that you can't be left alone with someone.
Well, do you think that was from a sexual nature or do you think that was from a bullying nature?
Either way, like mm-hmm. it had to be extreme. Of course, the first thought that I would have is that it would be of a sexual nature because that's usually like, that tends to be what people think. And I don't know, like no one's come out on either, like,
yeah,
to say, and I wouldn't want to speculate on what her experience was.
Mm-hmm. So Rachel X said, can a person have many bad parts and yet another person they encounter only experience the good parts? Can we miss the bad parts of people? I know we can. Did I? Joss was a dweeb, Joss was sharp as hell, and Joss was a dick. But to me, he wasn't a toxic dick. He was the kind of dick a person is on the path to becoming someone better. I did believe that. She wrote, Joss is a beautiful person, but you know what? I'm actually particularly vulnerable to abusive people. So does that nullify what she said previously? Or, you know, is she just couching that? Saying like possibly I missed it because I'm vulnerable, but this was my experience.
I mean, I don't find a particular like anything wrong particularly with what she is saying, like mm-hmm. because the thing is, and anyone who works with or who has experienced domestic abuse knows, like abusers aren't terrible people to everyone. They're just terrible mm-hmm. people to those who love them, who they have power over. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Joss was awful to his chosen family.
Mm-hmm. So he wouldn't have presented like this giant, like still a dick, sure. But he wouldn't have presented necessarily his abusive behaviors to everyone. Because honestly, like, if he had been doing this shit to like a man specifically in power, this would have been over a long time ago. Like Buffy probably would have been canceled. Like you can't.
If he was doing it to a man in power, mm-hmm. I mean, we saw what he said to James Marsterson.
He's not a man in power.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like it had to have been a man in power. Yeah. But do you think he would have been that way to a woman in power?
Maybe.
Or was it just to the people that he had power over?
It's hard to say. Like the only thing that I would feel comfortable saying is if it was a man in power, he definitely mm-hmm. wouldn't have. You know, and it would be different trying to gauge like what you and I think a woman in power looks like versus what he would.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, I would assume like his boss or a network studio executive or something, he might not have thought the same thing though. But yeah, I think what she says, cause she doesn't, I think what she does is the best thing you can do other than saying like, no comment, is she explained her experience and then said like, she didn't disregard what anybody else had said. She wasn't like, yep. They're lying, whatever. Like it's,
mm-hmm.
She stated her experience and then also, you know, said like, I also tend to like abusive men or not like, but like I'm drawn.
Mm-hmm. Or she, you know, she says she was vulnerable to abusive people, mm-hmm. but I think that might mean that because she tends to try to see the best in people, she can be, you know, have the wool over her eyes.
Yeah.
I just, every time I read about what he said, I'm like, wow, I have definitely have bosses who have ticked all of those boxes. And I'm like, so I guess that I was in a toxic work environment and didn't recognize it, or I recognized it. I had some, you know, yeah. terrible people previously in my life. But, you know, I'd read it and I'd be like, okay, yeah, that sucks and that's awful. But is it, you know, is it worthy of vilifying the individual? And then I'm like, well, I think that I have just been too easy on the and too forgiving of the people of my past. But
well, yeah, especially like the younger you are when you have those sorts of experiences, the more normal you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first job I ever had, I was 17 and it was a local pizza place, and the man who ran it was so inappropriate within a month. I told my mother what the owner had said to me. My mother had called my father. They had been divorced like many, many years at that point. And my father took off the next day of work and quit my job for me. Like, and it was not a discussion. So, mm-hmm. But like most, I would say since then, I have had mostly positive work experiences, or at least like supervisors for the most part, with the exception of one job that was very toxic. And I got out of there as soon as I could because I knew how toxic and how bad it was. Mm-hmm. And I've warned many, many people about it. No one should have to put up with something like that. Work takes up so much of our time, like, and they're, when you're filming, like sometimes they have extraordinarily long shoots. Like you're with these people all the time. There is no escape. And I mean, even if you're doing a normal, quote unquote, normal 9-to-5, like 40 hour work week, that's a lot of your waking time.
Mm-hmm.
Like that'll wreck your mental health. And that'll have serious effects on your physical health.
Yeah. Well, now as a completely disabled person who doesn't have working adrenal glands, maybe it did.
Possibly. Yeah. Yeah, I think And again, like specifically with Joss Whedon, he knew what he was doing was bad because he was writing himself as villains. Like,
well, yeah. And like, so he wrote at one point, or he said at one point, that he yelled because sometimes you have to yell. And I wanted to like shake him right then and be like, no, sometimes you don't have to yell. Sometimes you just feel like you have to yell. Like, but to say, oh, well, sometimes you have to yell is giving you permission to have a behavior that you should not have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, here's the thing. If you feel like you have to yell, maybe excuse yourself from a situation, find yourself a nice quiet area and a pillow, put mm-hmm. it over your face and yell.
Well, no, I think he was specifically talking about
yelling at people.
But yeah. You know, he was like, I had to make myself heard, and I did that by yelling. And
which,
of course, if a woman did that, she'd be called a bitch.
Oh, yeah. Among other things, like that would not be tolerated. In fact, women often, in order to be heard, cannot yell. They cannot show any sort of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so no, that is not how you get heard.
But it is often the way that men make themselves heard.
Not all men.
No. Hashtag not all men.
I would say healthy. Anyone who's not within toxic masculinity mm-hmm. does not express themselves that way. I personally, so yelling from a very young age has been very triggering for me. Like I completely shut down. Mm-hmm. I don't have men in my life who yell.
Mm-hmm.
Like none of them.
Yeah.
So I also don't have women in my life who yell.
Yeah.
But unless it's like, wee, because you're going down a slide.
Okay, well, I come from a half Arabic, half Scottish family. And we are yellers to the point of like, it sounds like a bunch of deaf people talking to each other. Like, but the yelling and the fighting is usually, I don't want to say malicious. Like, you know, there's a difference between malicious yelling and like family debate yelling. Mm-hmm. Like we have the pineapple on pizza debate yelling, as opposed to the, but growing up, my father was a yeller. You know, there wasn't so much physical violence, but there was a lot of like oppressive yelling and lecturing and the feelings of cowering from it. And whereas now someone starts yelling and I just remove myself from the situation. I'm like, I'm a grown ass adult. Bye.
Yep.
But when someone is, you know, in a position of power over you, for example, when you were a child with an adult or a supervisor with, you know, employees, it is difficult to remove yourself from that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And thus the onus falls on that person to not take advantage of that power dynamic.
Exactly. Yeah. And the exact reason why I have an issue with yelling that I've like tried to overcome for years, and I'm much better with it now than I had been previously. But like when I was very young, there was, you know, both verbal, emotional and physical violence in my household. So like I hear yelling, I think pain is coming very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And with, I mean, it's a lot of kids are abused. So like if you're a yeller and that's how you're getting your points across, you're intimidating people. And that's not like your point isn't getting across.
Yep.
Basically. Like yep. Whatever your point is, it's being missed. They're just placating you.
I don't know what to feel about the making out with a person on the floor of the writer's like office and like rolling around the floor and banging into her chair. Cause I'm like, surely you would have noticed another person in there.
Yeah, and there's like, yeah, it's also, I can't help but think of it as like a weird movie scene. I don't know if that's you too, it seems like something that would happen on like on New Girl, you know, one of those moments where you're watching it and it's something so awkward you feel it throughout your entire body and you just want to like crawl inside yourself and die. Like, that's what I imagine it like.
Mm-hmm. Just like that.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know. I look at so much of what he has created as part of a team, as part of a team, and been like, these are so essential to my life and my development. But at the same time, you know, I had an abusive father who has since changed, like who has made great strides, but was quite abusive as I was growing up. And he was also like an important part of my formative years and of my life. And he's still a part of my life in a much better way, but he has also done the work.
Yes. Like,
And I want so badly for Joss to do the work. And
yeah, I mean, I think the problem with, so the big difference is your dad didn't know better, right? Like he did that learning because he didn't know better. Joss has so known better. So
my dad's dad was a, you know, older Middle Eastern man from like literally the early 1900s. Like, I think he was born in 1902. Like, and was, because he was an older man when he was in his 40s when he was married to my grandmother, who was only 16 at the time. And yes, we can both shudder right there. And reader, you know, readers, listeners, you can shudder too. And he was incredibly abusive to my father, raising him to be a, you know, a man. And my dad now looks at the way that my brothers raise their kids, and he's so proud of them. And he was like, I did not know that parenting could be that way. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, now he's a fantastic grandfather. But he, again, he did the work. He put in the work to change himself, to learn, because he did not know better. And so it does upset me that Joss knew better and then didn't act upon it.
Yeah. And I think the tricky thing is with that, since we know that he knew better and he chose to be a piece of shit, anything he does, like even if he were to change, I know I would be very skeptical that it was an act, because he knows how he should be acting. Like, I'd be worried about, you know, who was the intern that was getting berated, or, you know, there would be a lot of proof that I personally would require to be okay with supporting further works of his. I don't think that's how the rest of the world would be, but that's how I would be.
I mean, what if you, like, obviously, like, what if he takes a couple years off, he like really works on himself, and he comes back and people are like, wow, working with Joss Whedon is so different from the way it used to be. Like, you know, it's an enjoyable experience. He's, you know, he is calmer, but he's still, you know, knows how to write a punch, like a punchy line sort of thing. Like, even if that was all an act on his part, as long as the end effect is him, you know, always mitigating his behavior in that way, what is the difference?
Because, so here's the thing with an abuser, they're not going to be able to keep up that act. Someone somewhere is going to be getting that abuse. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I would just be wondering who that
person. Do you think that abusers can never rehabilitate?
Oh, they definitely can. They definitely can, but they have to have a significant reason to. For example, losing a relationship with their child. For example, with my dad, he had severe PTSD. And once he went through counseling for his PTSD, the abuse stopped. Mm-hmm. I mean, and well, the physical abuse stopped. But so yes, it is entirely possible for abusers to reform. And the most common way actually is through groups. It's group therapy with other people of your gender who are abusers, because while abusers all use the same tactics, you would want to, like, they tend to really strongly associate with gender norms. That does mm-hmm. not necessarily mean that folks can that are non-binary cannot be abusers, because they most certainly can. But the thing that there's been at least some, it's still most of them relapse and go back to their abusing behaviors. Like it's over 75%. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you have to also want to do the work, you know, and you have to really want it, not just like, ugh, I'm just going to do this so people get off my back.
Mm-hmm.
Like he would have to really see the problem within himself.
Yep. And I think this interview shows that he still does not acknowledge that behavior as being a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, do I think in like 10 years he might have a different viewpoint? Sure. And I hope that is the case. Not just because I want him to put his like talents to work, but because of he still has people in his life that he interacts with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they don't deserve verbal abuse, or to be cheated on, or any of the other things that he did, like,
yep.
Yeah, mental torture, basically, in Charisma Carpenter's case.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's entirely, and it's much easier. Easier and harder, right? If we know someone personally to make these judgments. Yeah. Because like, for example, someone might decide like, I have really abusive behaviors, but I really want to stop because like, I've gone too far. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, they see that reflected somehow. Or a child tells them, I'm no longer going to have this relationship with you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you know, they see something happens, and puts them on a different path that they willingly do the work on.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of respect for people, who take accountability for their actions and then do the work to change it. And with that comes the understanding and acceptance that not everyone's going to give a shit that you did that. Like,
mm-hmm.
some people are going to see the damage that you have caused and think not worth the risk. And it's okay for people to think that as well.
Mm-hmm.
No one owes anybody else forgiveness.
Yes. Yes. No one ever owes anybody else forgiveness. I still want to have hope for Joss Whedon. But that doesn't mean that I want to forgive or downplay the abuse that he put others through in order to create the art that we appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
And again, luckily, there were a lot of other people involved in that show, in all of those shows. And maybe it just boils down to he can no longer be in a position of power.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he can be a contributor without being a, you know.
Yeah, like a staff writer.
Yep.
Basically. Yeah, I don't necessarily think he should be ever... should ever be trusted with power again. You know, just like an alcoholic might stop drinking for like 10 years, but that doesn't necessarily mean you should be like, hey, do you want to be the bartender at this party? Like, you know, temptation can be an awful thing and patterns are easy to fall into, especially like in a high stress environment, like I imagine running a show and being, you know, if you're in that kind of, you have all that power, you're also responsible for making sure those crew, the cast, everyone has a job, right? For the next season, like you don't want to bomb. So.
What did you think about the part where he entered into a doll relationship with the dominatrix?
I'm not remembering. God, I'm not going to lie. I wonder if I was so traumatized by like reading that by the time I got there. I'm just like, what?
He, let me see if I can find the exact part so that I can.
Oh, I mean, a doll relationship?
Yes. Yes.
Like he was dressed as a doll. How am I not remembering this? Like everything else is there.
I want to make sure that I have not like misconstrued this. So,
I mean, I've had a lot of like traumatic stuff going on in my life lately. So it's entirely possible that I just have not stored this bit of information in my mind.
All right, let's see. All right. When Arden Lee met Whedon in 2012, she was a sex educator in her 20s and author of The New Rules of Attraction. She picked up Whedon at a club after their second date. Whedon sent her DVDs of Dollhouse. The heroine, played by Buffy alum Eliza Dushku, has no friends, no family, no personality. She's a doll. Some critics argued the premise was sexist, but Lee, who worked as a professional dominatrix related to the dolls and was moved by Whedon's depiction of them. She and Whedon began a relationship as owner and doll. Now, I want to specifically note that she and Whedon, owner and doll. So she was the owner of him being the doll.
Okay. I was just going to say, like, I had to be that way because a dominatrix suddenly being like, well, I'm going to, I would have been like, this is a bullshit story. Has anyone found this one?
For the most part, she found it gratifying and she believed he did too. And that was when he says that he identified with the character of Topher in the Dollhouse.
I haven't watched the Dollhouse in forever.
So Topher is the one who imprints the dolls with their personalities and basically writes their personalities for them. Which I think is telling that he then identifies with the person who writes other people's personalities for them to act out the fantasies that he has written.
Yeah. Like,
however, then he does this super shitty thing, which is in her epilogue to the book that she given to him. She said that one of the worst things that ever happened to her was a boyfriend broke up with her on her birthday. And then, and they talked about it. They talked at length about the epilogue and about that part. And then within hours of her birthday, he shows up at her house and breaks up with her. Like literally does the thing that he knows is most wounded.
To a woman in power over him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that tracks.
She says, Joss destroyed a beautiful thing just to show that he had the power to. That's literally everything you need to know about him.
Like, do you remember when I had said about women in power and Joss Whedon?
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he entered into this relationship where he gave someone power over him. And then when he destroyed it, he did it in as painful a way as possible for the other person.
Mm-hmm. So, and was this, I imagine this would have been when he was also cheating on his wife. I just assume, but
2012.
I think they split in like 2015.
And then,
that's when all of the stuff started
in
coming out.
In 2015, hours before her birthday, he came over and told her the relationship was over. So he was in this relationship while married?
Get divorced. He got divorced in 2016.
Okay.
So yes, this is one of the real extramarital affairs. I wonder if he ended it like in one of those last ditch efforts to like save his marriage, like realizing the jig was basically up.
Yep. He is 57 right now.
I don't know if he looks bad or good, or I think he just looks his age.
I just, I thought he was younger, but he's not. He is 57. Like,
no, I mean, it makes, he's what I thought he, he's
essentially what I'm saying is he's running out of time to do the work and change, or yeah, he has run out of the time to do the work and change. Dude, you're 57. And if people are supposed to retire at 65, just be out. Just be done. Just be out. Be like, I made the things I made at the time period that I made them. I no longer should be in this field.
Well, I think like, cause it's not that he, it's not money, I think, at this point that's motivating him. I think it's the blemish on his name and on his legacy. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm not mistaken, he does not have children. And I think the movies and shows he created are his children and the legacy he's leaving.
He does have children, too.
Oh, gosh. He talks about them so frequently.
Yeah, it says here he has, yeah, two children.
Who I'm sure are in lots of therapy. Not necessarily because he did anything to them, but like when all this shit comes out about your dad, you probably need someone to talk to.
Squire Cole and Arden Cole from his first wife. Hi.
I'm just going to say this, naming a child Squire is terrible.
I'm not sure I'm a fan of the name Arden either.
No, but it's like, to me, not as bad. Can I just imagine someone like, Squire, come here.
Uh-huh.
Hold my arrows for me. Take this letter to the princess. Maybe that's just me, though. Because specifically, I think of, do you remember the Disney cartoon version of, what is it? Robin Hood? Did you ever see that?
The what?
The cartoon Disney version of Robin Hood?
Yes, with the fox.
Yes, yes. A lot of people had a lot of sexual feelings about the fox, but
I said, yep.
But like when I hear Squire, I think of that movie.
Okay. I just want to point out to you that ardent, which is what Arden comes from, means fiery, hot, shining, glowing, full of sexual energy.
Well, it was great up until that last bit.
Ardent declarations of love. means burning, fiery, passionate.
At least, like, children on the playground won't know what that means, whereas they're going to know Squire. As they're pelted with rocks.
So,
or whatever they throw in Hollywood. I don't know.
Old Oscar.
Old Oscars, as he is pelted with old Oscars. Squire, fetch my mother's Oscar. Shine it. It is dirty now.
Listen, they are not in a doll relationship. I think my final thoughts are this, is that I still want to be able to go into, you know, the Buffyverse. I still want to be able to explore the world of Firefly and even the Dollhouse and, you know, Age of Ultron and all that stuff. Still want to talk about them. I still want to look at them, but I also want to be aware that there is more that has happened behind the scenes than what we see as the final curated end piece.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, if anything else, it makes me respect Charisma Carpenter even more.
Mm-hmm. All of them.
Yeah. But yeah, yeah. It's just so disappointing. I hope he doesn't do another interview for like 5 years. Because maybe in 5 years he'll have done the work.
Yep. Or he'll have had a stroke and be a different person.
I'm fine with either option, honestly. Stroke wipes out the badness, keeps the creative bits.
Uh-huh.
Go forth into the world. But
take no medication. I do want to be aware that, you know, the idea of we are standing on the shoulders of giants. Is that when you stand on the shoulders of giants, you are able to move even further. And so the creators that we now have today that are rising up, they may stand on the shoulders of Joss Whedon to make better things.
Yes. I'm sure he inspired so many people to go into writing and filmmaking. You know, and you can't say really that he didn't, like, it would just be poppycock. And it's okay if those who inspire us aren't, like, when we get older, we find out they're not that great. Dr. Seuss was kind of a dickbag, you know?
Roald Dahl wrote for Penthouse and Playboy.
So, you know, Al Silverstein.
not that that's a problem. Just...
Shel Silverstein also wrote A Boy Named Sue that Johnny Cash did.
Uh-huh.
Not that that's necessarily a problem either, but it's... I mean, if you ever... Look up Shel Silverstein adult stuff. It's very different than the children's books. But unlike that, it's fine and still lovable. But yes. Human beings are flawed.
Mm-hmm.
There's always, like, but it's important to know the difference between, you know, being flawed and trying your best and being flawed and being like, deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, Joss Whedon is a deal with it.
Yep.
And so we aren't dealing with it anymore.
Yep. We have created our own boundaries, sir. You need to learn to live within them.
And you helped create those boundaries. So, Funny.
All right. So are we back next week with To Shanshu in LA?
Or yes.
Is that the one that we're on?
No, I think it's the last Buffy one. The Restless.
Restless. Yes. We are in Restless.
Yes. Buffy dream sequence. Yes.
Okay, well, I will see you next time. Thank you for not just jossing with me about Joss Whedon, but instead taking this more in-depth and critical view of it.
Yep, take two of that awkward moment when you find out the guy you named your podcast after is an asshole.
Yep.
See you in the Buffyverse.